Former Baylor starting quarterback Gary Bohannon is transferring to South Florida to be a Bull. We felt like he could be a starter at the Power 5 level, so how did he end up there? This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Baylor. I am Drake Toll from Sikkim 365 alongside Karen Stewart, a local news guy who works in local news. Thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. And today, Gary Bohannon of South Florida. In the middle of the show, it's Matthew Meyer. Where is he going to go? And we ended off with the Treston Ebner talk, who is the newest Chicago Bear. I joined Locked On Bears. And Cameron, where we're going first, Gary Bohannon, 2,200 passing yards last season, 12-2, Sugar Bowl champion, 27 touchdowns. He's got offers from maybe Oklahoma, maybe Missouri, maybe Iowa State, maybe Minnesota. He's going to South Florida. What in the world? Where did this come from?
This just feels so fresh, Drake. This is the first time I'm talking about this at all. This is take number one. I mean, if we played the Drake Toll game of what do all these other places have in common, maybe for the exception of Oklahoma, is they all get kind of chilly. Yes. And maybe Gary just didn't want that, because that's all I can think of to go to a 2-10 South Florida versus a bad team in the SEC, but an SEC team nonetheless. In Missouri, we saw that he did the visit there, and the Missouri people were all big on that, by the way. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter. They were really excited to have Gary Bohannon in the house. Didn't end up working. 2-10 South Florida. Who have got, I mean, look, they've got Timmy McClain there for the Bulls.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Well, and it's great you make that point.
That's going to be a tough guy to unseat.
Let me ask you this, though. Does the name Jeff Scott ring any bells up there in the old noggin?
I know this one. Don't tell me.
Yep, you do.
He's the guy who invented wax paper.
Ooh, close. That was actually Carl Scott.
Cash maybe, off for Carl.
Yeah, maybe vaguely related to Jeff Scott. Jeff Scott is the coach of the South Florida Bulls, who used to be with the Clemson Tigers, which I don't know if you know this, but Clemson's pretty good at football. And Jeff is maybe pretty good at being a football coach as an assistant, because as a head coach in the last 2 years, he is a whopping 3-18, 1-8 in his first season. And he's trying to pull a Dave Aranda in year two, right? 2021, his second season. 2-10, as you mentioned earlier, not a very competitive football program. And again, Gary had these people on the table like Oklahoma and Missouri, and you wind up being at USF. But I'll tell you, one person that this matters for more than you, me, Gary, Jeff, everyone, is our friend Timmy McClain, the starting quarterback for last year's USF team. This guy gave his all on the field for his program. And I don't know if you've seen his stats, but it's pretty nuts. As an individual last season, our friend Timmy started in 11 games on the offensive side of the ball. Timmy McClain, first and foremost, all name team, right? 260.
Well, for us, yeah, we like that.
For us, Timmy McClain.
We like a good McClain. Yeah.
McClain. He threw 7 interceptions out of 262 attempts. Show on that is percentage-wise, that's like, you know, 3% of your passes. So less, more power to you. Not only that, 5 touchdowns last year, 1,800 yards through the air. Rushing, his rushing numbers, Timmy McClain, 469 nice rushing yards on 123 attempts. As a freshman at South Florida, Timmy McClain's ready to be that guy. Cue Gary Bohannon.
I got a feel for Timmy McClain. You got to put his heart out there for the Bulls. I mean, this has not been the program. Was it the program this past year that it was in 2007?
Yeah.
You know, I remember it like it was yesterday, number 2 in the country. They're still riding that wave. So I don't know where I was going with that, which is something I say about once a show. But look, happy for Gary Bohannon.
Yeah.
I think us Baylor people, we're going to be happy either way. I don't think he wasn't going to go to Oklahoma.
Well, I think Gary is starting caliber quarterback too, right?
Yes, no, he is.
Where he wants to go, he wants to be a starter.
I thought he could have started in the Power 5.
Right. Oh, I do too. I think the Iowa State, Missouri?
I think that's why it was surprising.
I feel like Gary could have started at Missouri tomorrow. Yeah. Who else are you going to start, right? Kelly Bryant? The guy's like 30. He has no eligibility left. There's no way.
No way he's still playing, right?
Drew Locke? Can't do that anymore. He can't come back. Those days are gone. Gary Bohannon could have been that guy at Missouri. What did Eli Drinkwitz say that turned Gary away from going to Missouri? Because it feels like how Missouri had to have screwed this up more than Gary had to have been turned off. You know, Missouri turns Gary away. Because
not much of a journalism student, I guess.
What I don't understand why a guy, a Power 5 caliber Sugar Bowl quarterback, the best remaining quarterback in the transfer portal, which there weren't a ton of great quarterbacks, is now at South Florida. I want to try to make sense of this.
No bull. This is, I mean, that's another way to look at it. This is a great coup, a great get for South Florida. And in turn, the American Football Conference, or whatever they call it, American Conference, right?
Yeah, it's something along those lines. Yeah,
American Football Conference is in the National Football League. Anyway, great get for the program. And he's got tentatively 2 years of eligibility. Yeah. I know you always use, you just say COVID, you get another one automatically.
Pretty much.
But we overlap by a year, which means he should be graduating. I think he's got two. Hey, this is the start of something, Drake. Start of something. He helped this program rise back from the ashes after 1 year down. Okay. He's going to, who's to say he won't do the same thing at South Florida?
Yeah. It's not, I mean,
maybe. I hope so. Cause I love Gary.
I wish the best for him. I really do. And I think that's kind of the gist we try to get to in this is that no matter what, you just hope Gary Bohan is successful somewhere. And I just want that somewhere to be somewhere big. I don't want Gary to be trotting out next year as the starting quarterback at USF and they're playing against Tulsa and the announcers are like, here he comes, Gary Bohannon.
Well, that is like, think about this in a retrospective potentially from next year. That sounded confusing. So there's an opportunity for like a year to the day after Baylor beat Oklahoma. He's on the set of the Fox Sports 1 show, and all the fans are on the field cheering his name.
Yeah.
To playing like a Tulsa or a Tulane, and it's like this crappy day. It's raining in South Florida, which does happen. And they're trying to get like win number 4, and the fans are really excited about it. Like, that could potentially be what we're seeing next year. And what a drop down.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they're better than that. I hope they're better than that.
For his sake. And yeah. he's a starting quarterback. There's one guy that could help him get to that level. It's got to be Gary Bohannon. I just don't. What it would have been, I think, if I get my dates correctly, it would have been Temple at Temple. Like, nice. You know, that would be
definitely a good weather day.
Baylor, Oklahoma. November? You're in Philadelphia, and it's November 5th, and the music cuts in. Here he comes. It's Gary Bohannon, the starting quarterback of the South Florida Bulls.
Playing at the 11, link.
Yeah, 11 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, but 15 rushing scores. Like, that's what's going to be reality next season for Gary and South Florida. I'm going to keep repeating it. I don't have an answer. The people that came to Locked On Baylor to get an answer today of why Gary Bohannon is going to some mid-major school in the Power 6 level, Power 6 ranks, if you're trying to get an understanding, you know, a grasp around this and you're using Locked On Baylor, I'm very sorry because I am just as confused as anyone should be when you have a guy who has a visit to Missouri and now he's going to USF. Yes, it's warmer, but God bless, you figure he could start somewhere else.
I feel like this will not be the last time this week it will be discussed on the podcast, whether it's me or whomever. We're going to need to dig for some answers this week.
I'm passionate. I want to know who he knows. Who knows? What did he get paid?
There's got to be some sort of relationship there.
Something.
Has to be.
All right. Gary's gone. Tell your Gary story.
Yeah. So, as I've mentioned, I believe on this podcast, Gary and I did have a class together. Earth science, it would have been my senior year, his freshman year, and a lot of athletes in that class, Drake, trust me. It was not the most difficult class I ever took. So he sat in the seat next to me, and there was another player who's still on the team. He's the victim in all this, but I'll refrain from mentioning his name. So he sat in the row in front of us. He goes to the bathroom during class, and he's gone for a hefty 20, 25 minutes, most of the class.
And which athletes never do during class, by the way.
No.
Rarity.
No. So Gary, he was a really funny guy. And most of the stuff the professor just didn't hear. He was very dry with it. So said player comes back into the room. Gary is looking at his notebook, for sure, not his cell phone. Doesn't even look up from the notebook. And he just goes, "Hey, yo, you beat that bad boy?"
No way. That's real.
That is 1,000% real. 1,000% real. Some of them have left the program. They can maybe confirm it. Harrison Hand was there. The delivery and the context, top five, I think, funniest things I've ever heard in my life. It was just so, I can't even do it justice. So deadpan, dry. Yo, you beat that bad boy. Just classic.
Oh, Gare Bear.
What are you talking about? And Gary just didn't even entertain the response. He knew. Everyone knew. He had some great lines in that class. That's one of the ones I can say on LOB. Funny, dude. So wish nothing but the best for him.
USF Bowl.
I was known as Acid Boy in that class.
By Gary Bohannon?
Yes, by all the football players. Yeah. I mean, most of the class was athletes. That might be a story for a different day.
Yeah.
Probably. How about that for a tease? It's not as funny a story.
Wow.
But
wow.
And whenever Gary when the professor would ask the class for an answer and no one would answer, Gary would just, you'll love this. Gary would just yell out Arkansas every time.
In a human earth science class?
Huh?
In a what class again?
Earth science, yeah.
Earth science, Arkansas.
And then there was another, I was not in this class, good friend that I trust on this story, was in a class with Gary, and the first day they go around the room, say, you know, where you're from, fun fact about myself. And Gary goes, you know, my name's Gary, I'm from Arkansas, and I do it for my mama.
Wow.
So how can you not love that? Mother's Day edition, Drake. Talking about Gary Bohannon, who does, in fact, do it for his mama.
Yeah. What a guy.
So best of luck to Gary.
Going to miss that dude.
And to Gary's mother.
Going to miss that dude. Also going to miss Matthew Meyer. Coming up next after this. That's all on our Gary Bohannon to South Florida. Coming up after this, Matthew Meyer is taking his talent somewhere else, probably not the NBA. I think we've kind of come to terms with the fact it's probably not the NBA. But first, I want to tell you about something that's better than the NBA. It is Built Bar. Built Bar is your number one place to go to keep that summer bod or make that summer bod happen. Built Bar is not a candy bar, but basically a candy bar. 140 calories compared to your candy bar. It's like 230, 240, 250, depending on what you eat. Got 30 grams of sugar in those candy bars. Built Bar has four with four net carbs compared to a gajillion in your candy bar. So right now, built.com, they have all your favorites. Banana cream, raspberry, double chocolate. If you don't like that, they have so many more. Coconut is a big one. I like the coconut, the white chocolate coconut too. Built Bar puffs as well are solid. So right now, go to built.com, promo code LOTKE. Locked 15. Get 8% off your order at built.com. Again, built.com, locked 15. All right, welcome to another Matthew Meyer conversation. The guy lives in this show's head rent-free, and he's someone who I think should be hailed a Baylor legend and probably will not get that because of his exit, but we've already been over that, right? I want to get into now what Matthew Meyer's prospects in the transfer portal look like, because I don't think he's going to go to the NBA. I just don't. If he's going to go play professional hoops, it's going to be in the G League or overseas, and I don't think he's a guy that deserves to be right there yet. He doesn't deserve to be in the G League or overseas, more so because he deserves something more. He deserves another year at college, the exposure that comes with that, NIL deals for wherever he goes, and I think that's where Matthew Meyer is going to end up. Now, we've had the talk about how Baylor scholarships are slowly but surely running out, and I don't think one of those is available for Matthew Meyer next season. So he's probably going to have to end up moving on from the Baylor program. Not even probably. I put it down last week that he's 100% gone from Baylor, and I think that still stands, that he will not be coming back to Baylor. But now he's got looks across the NCAA, knowing, really good idea that Matthew Meyer could play a solid college next season. And part of that is the list that is here that Jeff Goodman tweeted out. Texas Tech, UNC, USC, Memphis, Alabama, Arkansas, Illinois, and others that Matthew Meyer has been looking at. He's still working out in Chicago, undecided on NBA draft or staying in college per Jeff Goodman. But right now, look at Illinois team that is solid in the Big Ten. That they've been good. They, you know, have had a couple of down years in that maybe they're not like Final Four caliber like a Baylor. I wouldn't put Illinois and Baylor in the same category over the last 5 years. In that Baylor won a national championship, has been to the Final Four, has vied for that now the last three seasons, been in a position to make a Sweet 16 or better at least. Not to say that Illinois hasn't by any means, but I still put Baylor above that. But you also have teams like Texas Tech. I mean, they were pretty solid last year. And add Matthew Meyer to the mix, a guy who's really honed in on his defense and still fits that Texas Tech style of defense. I think you'd be okay with the one. You know, before I even get there, Arkansas, too, is on the board. Man, Arkansas's got like 35,000 scholarships. There's probably 15 million college players that have looked at going to the University of Arkansas now. It's what it seems like, because it feels like their roster, if you've been following it, is filled up and filled up and filled up and filled up. Arkansas is just recruiting for the masses right now. And so I don't know if there's even room for Matthew Meyer to make it at Arkansas, but be a great addition to a team that's got a lot of prospects to be really good. The one that I circle, though, is UNC, the team that beat Baylor out of the NCAA tournament this past season. He has followed, Matthew Meyer has followed both Sean May and Leaky Black on Instagram. Two guys now, Leaky Black, a starter from last year, is back confirmed. They've got four of their five starters back at UNC. The only position they need to fill out of that starting five spot, the big man, you may remember him. Big caveman-like guy. He's got the big long beard. And Oklahoma transfer, too, who reminds me a lot of Matthew Meyer. So I know that Baylor fans have had their quips with Matthew Meyer, and I'm not so sure that he's going to be, you know, the guy to come back to Baylor and lead the team next year. Is he even that big of a leader in the locker room? And maybe he's not. But even still, he's got this like Brady Manek type to him where he could go to UNC and be their Brady Manek and make Baylor fans regret ever saying, we don't need Matthew Meyer, he's not a great leader or whatever. Because I feel like there are so many people who have kind of fallen in that boat of, okay, if Matthew Meyer comes back, great. If he doesn't come back, also great. I am being one of those people. And now if he goes to UNC, fills that fifth spot, becomes a starter for, you know, a team that was in the national championship last year and is having four guys back, that's going to be an insane, insane power team to deal with next season. So I don't want that to happen. I don't want Matthew Meyer to go to UNC unless it's a great fit for him, and then more power to Matthew Meyer. But right now, I'm vaguely concerned. Vaguely concerned. Because Matthew Meyer, I think, is going to go to another NCAA team. I don't think he's going to go to the NBA. And when he does, he may have to compete against Baylor. And the last thing that I want to see is Matthew Meyer competing against Scott Drew and the Baylor Bears next season. Because I think even if things didn't end that badly here, there'll still be some kind of vendetta that comes with playing against your former team. It's natural, and it will be the case if the teams match up. So, Illinois, great. You know, Arkansas, sure. You may not get to play as much as you would somewhere else. Illinois's got a couple more scholarships than Arkansas, so probably makes a little more sense. Texas Tech, no thank you. Please don't play for Mark Adams and play Baylor twice or three times next year. But especially, I don't know what it is about UNC. It just seems like if he goes to UNC, fate is going to match up, and then Baylor will play UNC in the NCAA tournament or somewhere at some point in time in the preseason. Not even preseason, before, the non-conference. There you go. And I just don't want to see that happen, because I think it creates a power team that could destroy, I don't want to say it could destroy Baylor, because I think Baylor could be really good, but it's going to beat up on a lot of really good squads. So, Matthew, best of luck wherever you go, but please don't go to a place that's going to play Baylor and beat Baylor. And thank you to everyone out there for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. Coming up, a conversation about Trustin Ebner, who has joined the team in Chicago. I joined Locked On Chicago. But I want to tell you first about betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball, and I hope you got on the action on the Kentucky Derby, because BetOnline had a lot of great, a rich strike, baby. Wow. 80-1 odds. I watched it. I screened at my TV. It was electric. Head to the website today, though, at betonline.com to bet on the NBA playoffs and the MLB. BetOnline.net. I'm sorry, not even .com. BetOnline.net. Head to the website or the mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, with us now here on the Locked On Bears podcast is the host of the Locked On Other Bears team here on the podcast network. I'm the one who keeps him from being Locked On Bears. He has to be Locked On Baylor instead because we were here first. But hey, Drake Toll with us here to break down Treston Ebner. Drake, how are you doing? How was the draft weekend experience for you watching these Baylor players? And what's sort of the state of everything going on in your life?
Yeah, Lauren, I tell you this. I couldn't be more shocked with how well Baylor did in the NFL draft in year two under Dave Aranda. He didn't recruit any of these players into the Baylor program. So to see six of those guys go off the board, which is the most football players to go off the board in program history, is unbelievable. I say that because in 2016, Baylor had five football players and one basketball player get drafted in that draft. So not the most Baylor guys to go. No one cares. That's a fun aside. But overall, just a really awesome weekend, I think, for Baylor fans. And Treston Ebner was a part of that going to the Bears. And so not to say that Ebner was the guy on this football team this past year, because the defense really led the way for our Baylor Bears. But, man, you've got an unbelievable athlete coming to Chicago, and I couldn't be more excited to see how well he does in the NFL.
Well, I'm glad you started there, because he wasn't like the guy at Baylor. Across his 5 years, you know, this past season, he was the backup to Abram Smith. And I guess I'm curious why he never, even as like a fifth-year senior, was able to take that like lead back role.
Well, Lauren, if you watch Treston Ebner's highlight videos, you're going to see it and you're going to instantly get really excited, because you're going to see unbelievable explosive plays, kickoff returns, punt returns. You're going, holy cow, this guy's an unbelievable athlete. And he is, right? That there's cause for that. The only thing is there's inconsistency there. So Treston Ebner could come in, break off a 75-yard run, and you'd think he's the fastest, most agile, unbelievable vision on the field. And then the next play, he runs into the offensive tackle's butt and loses 3 yards. You're like, Treston, what are you doing? He is the single most electrically frustrating football player I think I've ever seen on a football field, which, Lauren, if I know anything about the NFL, pays the big bucks. Like, you could end up being one of the greatest NFL players of all time for being electrically inconsistent, and he fits that mold perfectly. So Abram Smith last year brought a lot more consistency, formidable power, start at the right spot. But if you note, yes, Abram Smith's probably the better back last year, but he didn't get drafted, and Treston Ebner is here with the Bears. And I think a big part of that is NFL prototype. Where are guys going to fit in the league? Because college football and the NFL are two very, very different beasts. We learn that every year with busts and guys who end up showing out in the NFL who are, you know, average in college. I think Treston Ebner can be that guy because he has a much more NFL style of play, in that he's just kind of a wild shooter, and he's going to make things happen when they shouldn't. And sometimes he's going to not make things happen when he should.
Yeah, I was looking through, I looked through your tweets about Treston Ebner from the last couple of seasons, and you said his greatest strength is getting fancy, and his greatest weakness is getting fancy. And I saw some complaints about, you know, a lot of like too much east-west running and not enough downhill running. And I'm curious from your perspective, like, do you think in that case he's like shying away from contact, or is he just like always trying to make the home run play and just doesn't always take what's there in front of him?
What's interesting is it feels like he's not necessarily shying away from contact. I've seen Treston Ebner take a few hits. I think he's kind of got it in his mind sometimes that he can do more than he's actually capable of on a football field. And sometimes that works out for a guy. He's taking these calculated risks of trying to fit into a smaller hole that may have a better payoff in the end. And, you know, instead of getting the 75-yard play, he loses 3 yards. Whereas if he hits the hole he's supposed to go through, he'll get the 4 yards that are intended. He'll move on to the next down. So he's trying to make explosive plays, not necessarily avoid contact. But in that, you can't outrun everybody. You know, you can't outspin move everybody. At some point in time, you're going to get tackled by these big meaty guys, especially playing teams like Texas, Oklahoma State, who have larger defenses that play in an SEC style of football on that side of the ball. So when Ebner got in some of those situations, it was like, gosh dang it, man, you can just do the game of football really simply. We can just kind of run the ball forward. And so he's really big about making explosive plays, not necessarily shying away from contact, but doing his best to get in open space, let his legs go for him. And when he does, he's electric. I mean, the guy was an All-American kickoff return man, his junior and years don't matter in college football after COVID, but his fourth year and then his fifth year, he was right up there at the Big 12 at the top of the conference in kickoff returns and punt returns as well. So he's a guy that has that kind of athleticism, but putting it together out of the backfield doesn't always click because he's trying to do too much too fast, which again isn't always a bad thing in the NFL, where a lot of those risks seem to pay off for guys that have that kind of speed and athleticism.
Since you mentioned the kickoff and punt returns there, I wanted to circle back to that. How much, when you see those, I think he had about 3 touchdowns and some other really long returns. Yeah. How much of that is speed? How much of that is like making guys miss? And how much of that is like setting up blockers really well, like that just Baylor's special teams being a good unit altogether?
I'll say this. Some guys have speed and some guys have quickness, right? There is a distinct difference between the two that I think a lot of people will miss. And it's what separates us, the experts, from your casual football fan, right? And Treston Ebner, to me, has really good quickness. The second that football's in his hand, he can shoot out of there. I mean, really, really good off the ball quickness. Now, speed in the open field, he could be caught. Right. He not that he's not fast, but you see a lot of his kick return touchdowns came against like Kansas, you know, or Stephen F. Austin, or these teams that you see a lot less athleticism than you do. Again, those Texas or Oklahoma or the schools coming out of the Big 12 that are at the top of the conference. So for me, Treston Ebner has really good quickness. The ball, the second the ball hits his hands, he's ready to go. At the same time, in kickoff return scenarios and even in the open field, when he gets to the second level, that's when his eyes light up. Coming out of the backfield, he's not great at seeing where he needs to go and hitting a hole. But once he gets to the second level, that's the point where, for some reason, you ever play like NCAA 14 and they had that old mode where you could like press one of the buttons and everything would slow down on the field and give you tunnel vision? He's got that 10 yards from the line of scrimmage, nowhere else on the field. But at that point, he just becomes like this, everything slows down for him and he can go take it again, 60, 75 yards, really big explosive play guy. So I think it's a combination of quickness. The second he's got the ball, he's gone. And the ability to see the field and see downfield. He can't usually see what's right in front of him all that well. But once you get 10 yards later, the guy can go. And when he turns it on, he turns it on. It's just a matter of getting to the level where he's able to turn it on.
Sure. I can see why that makes him such an intriguing option as a receiver, you know, both out of the backfield. And, and I saw that, you know, Baylor put him out at like in the slot occasionally and sometimes outside. I think he was a receiver in high school, if I remember right. Like how much confidence do you have in him, like at an actual receiver position? Or do you think he's going to be more limited to, I mean, not a full time at the receiver position, but in terms of like that versatility, like, is it actual versatility where he's just as, can he be just as effective out there? Or is he going to be more of like, you can sprinkle him there, but more so catching passes out of the backfield?
Lauren, I love that question so much. And there were so many times this past season where I thought like, okay, at some point in time, it's okay to shut him down, handing the football when you have, Abram Smith right there as well, and just dump it off to Treston Ebner out of the backfield on these, you know, I'm going to do it again. You ever play NCAA 14 and you run the halfback screen? It's just like this cheat code in Madden or NCAA. And I hate to be the guy that references video games, but that is where he thrives on these little dump pass screen plays, where if you can create open space for Treston Ebner where he doesn't have to create it himself, he can thrive automatically, right? There are plays where he can find the hole, get to the second level and go. But if you can get him to the second level with the football out of the backfield, that's where he's got a running start. Catches the football 5-8 yards down the field and goes, or on a screen play where he's still in the backfield, but you've already given him kind of a jump start and a couple lead blockers. You don't tell him to hit a necessary hole, but start seeing downfield immediately. That's where he's going to thrive. I think there were so many times where Baylor could have used him more so in the passing game and been more successful utilizing his athleticism. But again, you know, last season he had, I don't want to say a breakout year because everybody knew what he had in the tank, but you look at his fourth year at Baylor, he had 107 rushing yards to 300 receiving yards. So last year he was much better out of the backfield, but we've seen him in the past be a true receiving, what do you say, like a receiver at running back. And that's what he's going to bring to the table in the NFL. Again, it is true versatility. He can get out, catch the ball in a slot position if need be, but also catch it out of the backfield and just go.
One of the things I noticed kind of looking through his season of 4 fumbles this past season. Yeah. Do you find that to be a real concern, or just sort of like, I don't want to say like fluky necessarily, but some fumbles, not all fumbles are created equal. You know, sometimes the ball just slips during a handoff and it goes to the ground on a stat sheet as a running back fumble versus a guy who has it too easily pulled away or hit out. I guess what level of concern should we have there?
I be honest with you, Lauren, if you watch Baylor football this past year, I don't know if it's quarterback play. I don't know if it's missed timing on a handoff, but it felt like there were just a lot of fumbles from everybody. I'm not sure if like somebody in the training staff was out to get Baylor and it just coated their gloves in butter prior to the game. It is quite possible with the amount of fumbles that we saw from the quarterback, wide receiver, and running back position last year from a lot of different guys. So the fact that you say that's almost like 4, that's not that bad when in comparison to the rest of the football team last year. So I'm not sure that it's a huge concern. But again, I think that goes back to Treston Ebner probably doing a little bit more than he actually can, like thinking that, okay, I can pull this off. Sometimes it works out for you. Sometimes it doesn't. Those guys, you see them any given Sunday, where they'll put the football on the right arm and the left arm. They'll try to switch in the middle of a play to keep it away from defender. And it's a great idea. And if you can pull it off, it's going to give you success. But every now and then it just pops loose. Or every now and then you take a big hit and it pops loose. And he's one of those guys that's going to be, you know, you're going to have to remind him, like, hey, Treston, you know, high and tight, buddy. Come on. If we don't have to be a star here, I know what you're seeing on Sundays, but high and tight. So great concern. No, but it's still there, right? Four fumbles is not pretty.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, kind of putting this all together, then what would be like realistic expectations for his NFL career? It seems like that type of player can stick around for a while, but with the inconsistencies, does that limit some of the ceiling there? I mean, what sort of your expectations, regardless of, you know, the exact opportunity he's going to get in Chicago right away his first season?
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, I know you're a Chicago guy, so I don't want to throw out the name Devin Hester, because I think that's just astronomical, right? If anybody comes in like Devin Hester, that just makes no sense. But it's one of those, I remember looking at him being like, Devin Hester still in the NFL? By the end of his career, you're like, what? And I think Treston Ebner's one of those guys in that respect. You know, Ebner, his junior year, 612 yards on kickoff returns, and then 511 yards on kickoff returns his senior year as well. And you said three touchdowns. So he's one of those guys that maybe you can't use him right away in that running back spot to be a difference maker on your team, but throw him back there on kickoff return. And I think his very first Sunday, he's going to make an impact in special teams. He can absolutely do that because of how electric he is, again, in that open space. So realistic expectations for Treston Ebner. I don't see this guy ever panning out to be some kind of big-time NFL Hall of Famer. He's not getting a ton of hype from the national media, and I think that's warranted. I'm not sure if he should get that, but he feels like that same guy that 3 years from now, you look up and he's got, you know, three touchdown returns on kickoffs in a season. You go, oh, there he is. Right. Like, you remember Nile Davis?
Oh, yeah.
Nile Davis, like, went away for a little bit. He graduated from Arkansas after having a great career, got hurt, kind of went to the NFL. Everybody's like, all right, where is this guy? And then boom, one day you wake up and he's just an electric return man for the Chiefs. And he becomes, like, for 3 weeks, his house NFL football. And it seems Treston Ebner might end up fitting that similar build of like, oh, there he is, but 3 years from now. Not to say that's a guarantee. You could get a day one guy who's just got the athleticism to make an impact any given Sunday. But right now, that's what I see from Treston Ebner, being a return man who, if he's coming out of the backfield every now and then, it's going to be solid, but maybe not going to give you consistency for a couple years down the line, but will still be in the NFL 8 years from now.
Yeah, definitely one of those guys with some staying power. Excellent. Well, good for a six-round pick and a lot to learn here about Treston Ebner. So, Drake, really appreciate you joining us. Let everybody know where they can find your Baylor coverage, and especially the Baylor fans out there that want more about this team, a quarterback transfer we just saw coming out this weekend. So what are you working on?
Yeah, so for all the Bear fans out there, both Chicago and Baylor, we can all unite around one mascot and all unite around at Drake C. Toll on Twitter, the one down there. And if you go to Locked On Baylor, again, wherever you find your podcast, the same place you find Locked On Bears or on YouTube, go find us there. Constantly giving updates about future NFL players, NFL draft picks as well that are coming from Baylor University, which are a lot and a lot more than Texas. So you find us there at Locked On Baylor. And look, you got any questions about Treston Ebner, the NFL, or future NFL players from Baylor University, shoot them my way. We'll be sure to get to them.
Well, from one Bears guy to another, from one Locked On Bears guy to another, Drake, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Lauren, thanks so much.